I do have a few questions. One, I just started to hear about this subcutaneous pertuzumab trastuzumab thing. Is that available? Are you using it? And how does that tie into the COVID story?
Absolutely. So that is available. I did mention this idea of home infusion of trastuzumab, pertuzumab subcutaneously. That is in the context of an investigational study that we've stood up. And so while that at home is in the context of a trial, subcutaneous trastuzumab and pertuzumab are now available. And the nice thing about that is the data would show from subcutaneous trastuzumab that it's well tolerated by patients. There is some local irritation, but it is a much shorter observation period and infusion time, just measured in a few minutes. And so that is desirable, especially when you think about patients who might otherwise need central access could potentially avoid that by just having subcutaneous treatment.
Another question is, how has the pandemic affected palliative care and hospice care?
Excellent question. I think this is critically important. And as I alluded to, having a palliative care, supportive care team involved on the inpatient side has been critical for these patients. But I would say this has really brought to fore the importance of us having goals of care conversations with our patients in the outpatient setting, being sure that we understand our patients' values and what's important to them so that they understand what the goal of care is for treatment of their cancer, what the risk of therapy is, and have these very frank conversations with them and including their families to understand what their wishes would be. Because the experience we had was, patients that were hospitalized had restrictions in visitor policies, so their loved ones were not available bedside. We had a 4,000% increase in the use of telemedicine. And so our supportive care and palliative care teams were helping to support all of us with telemedicine palliative care, as well as outpatient physicians, doing telemedicine into their patients in the hospital to really try to advance these conversations. But palliative and supportive care is just critically important through this experience in the ambulatory care setting as well as inpatient.
Another question I always have to ask when I hear it. In that first case, you mentioned this patient you've been taking care of for so long that she originally presented with a fungating lesion. And I was just curious, had she ignored it or what happened?
Yes, she had really ignored medical attention in many ways for many, many years. This is atypical for us to see, I think, but she presented jaundiced with a fungating breast mass and clearly had neglected that for some time.
But then, and you hear these stories all the time, becomes a very adherent patient.
Absolutely. I mean, she derived such benefit from first-line therapy that she quickly embraced that every three-week regimen because she's seen the benefits from treatment. And here we are 5+ years later.
Amazing. And another question, your second case, the terrible situation there with the COVID, how old is that woman?
Early 50s, no medical history, no comorbidities, quite functional.
Can you explain a little bit more about the prone positioning and the implications of it?
Yeah, so I'm just a medical oncologist, but what I'm understanding from our critical care specialists and pulmonary physicians is that this prone positioning has helped better aerate the lungs, but it is very uncomfortable. If you can imagine being dyspneic, to lie prone is difficult to tolerate. And so this is where we actually recruited the help of integrative medicine, mindfulness, really imagery, all sorts of techniques to help calm patients and be able to tolerate these proning positions.
Wow, that is really interesting. So another question, I was kind of curious. I interviewed Jeff Sharman. I don't know if you know him. He's a CLL doc at US Oncology. They had this paper in Science Immunology, early study, but it was like 19 people with ARDS and COVID where they gave him acalabrutinib for 2 weeks. I was just kind of curious if you've heard anything at your place about BTK inhibitors to treat COVID.
Yeah, fascinating. So there is a global trial going on right now that, in some ways is a little I-SPY-like, where there are multiple opportunities to plug in different interesting investigational agents. And so our critical care team has this type of study open where different arms will plug in different interesting novel agents and approaches. And I think that we're compelled to remain flexible and nimble to explore these sorts of repurposing of other drugs for a benefit here.